Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are continuing on. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 20, looking at the life of David. In this 20th chapter, it's a rather long chapter. It's a really intense episode. David has told Jonathan that, hey, your daddy wants to kill me. And Jonathan says, no. He wouldn't do anything like that without me knowing. Well, he'd already tried it. Okay, we'd already tried it at least a dozen times that we've seen so far. And so Jonathan was just saying, no, I haven't heard of any plans of late. No, I hadn't heard anything. Well, they devised a plan whereby they can find out what's going on. And we're in the midst of finding out what that is. So verse 16 says this. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord require it at the hands of David's enemies. That's the quote that Jonathan made, a declaration of a covenant nature that David would have a house. Jonathan knew that David would be the king. And he's saying, may David ascend at the hands of his enemies. In other words, he's going to defeat his enemies. Verse 17, Jonathan made David vow again because of his love for him, because he loved him as he loved his own life. And so we see them making vows with each other and expressing their love for one another. And Jonathan is really, really driving home this point to David because he loved him and that he loves him more than he loved his own life, which we are going to see if that comes into play here shortly. Verse 18, then Jonathan said to him, tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. Again, it's that new moon celebration. Verse 19, Jonathan continues, when you have stayed for 3 days, you shall go down quickly and come to the place where you hid yourself on that eventful day, and you shall remain by the stone Ezel. So they agreed upon a place. Jonathan told him, said, I'll meet you at this spot. Then he says this, I will shoot 3 arrows to the side as though I shot at a target. And behold, I will send the lad saying, go find the arrows. If I specifically say to the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of you, get them, then come, for there is safety for you and no harm as the Lord lives. But if I say to the youth, behold, the arrows are beyond you, go, for the Lord has sent you away. So what's going on here? David's going to hide. They're going to have this meal, which apparently it was a 2 or 3 night type of event, and which is verified in just a few more verses. And Jonathan says, I'm going to take a kid out here and I'm going to go shoot some arrows. And I want to send him to fetch the arrows. If I say, no, the arrow's over here closer to me, then David, when you hear me say that, you will know that it's safe so you can come out. And you can be what? Close to me. You can be close to us. You can come back in. The king means you no harm. But if I tell the young man that the arrows are beyond you, they're beyond you. In other words, the arrows are still away from where you are, young man. Then, David, that means the Lord has sent you away. So why all this subterfuge? Why all this sort of chicanery and stuff? Well, we're not told forthrightly. But someone of Jonathan's stature, someone with him, would always have somebody with him, even when he was away alone, quote unquote. He would have people that would be following him. His daddy would have spies. He couldn't be forthright unless he was absolutely certain. So this was a plan that they could execute. If other people determined they needed to be with Jonathan, they needed to be around, et cetera, et cetera. Now we're going to find out, we get the end of it, that they were able to meet and didn't have, there was more that they were able to do, which tells us that they felt that the way was clear, okay? So verse 23, as for the agreement, this is Jonathan still speaking. As for the agreement of which you and I have spoken, behold, the Lord is between you and me forever. So they had made a covenant agreement. They had solemnified it, solemn vows, things like this. in different kinds of ways. They'd actually built upon the agreement. Why is Jonathan pushing this so? I think Jonathan realized what was going to occur. He knew he wasn't going to be king, so he is trying to take care of his progeny in spite of that. But I think he also knew that it might not go well for him. So he just wanted to drive it home. Hey, the Lord between you and me, and this agreement is forever. And I mentioned it before, but I'll tell you a little more detail when we get toward the end of the story, or further along in the story. David's victorious. David's the king. And down the road, he's just sitting there, and he says, isn't there anything that I can do for the house of Saul? And that's Jonathan's dad. For the house of Saul, isn't there anything I can do? Are there no progeny of them? Did nobody survive? Because the whole family nearly got wiped out. And they said, oh, yeah, there is this one grandchild. There is this one child. And then David does great things for him because of this promise right here. So verse 24, a couple more verses. So David hid in the field, and when the new moon came, the king sat down to eat food. The king sat down on his seat as usual, the seat by the wall. Very Godfather-like, right? Because you know you don't sit with your back to the door. Okay? He sat with the seat by the wall. Then Jonathan rose up, and Abner sat down by Saul's side. But David's place was empty. So apparently Saul had David on one side, okay, Jonathan on another. Jonathan gets up. When he gets up, I guess, to depart, Abner sits down by Saul's side. Verse 26. But David's space was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not speak anything that day, for he thought, it is an accident. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. And so when he considered, he saw that David wasn't there. And when he considered, he thought, well, something must have come up. Something must have made him unclean for this time. That has to be what it is. And, you know, we would do the same thing. We would give somebody a doubt. You know, we would say, okay, something must have occurred. Well, verse 27, it came about the next day, the second day of the new moon, that David's place was empty. So Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come to the meal, either yesterday or today? And Jonathan then answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. For he said, please let me go, since our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to attend. And now, if I found favor in your sight, please let me go, that I may see my brothers. For this reason, he has not come to the king's table. So it shows us some things. It shows us that Jonathan had the power and the authority to do this. Okay, David knew that, so that's the reason they came up with this cover story. And well, you know what? Saul wasn't buying it. Let me read the first part of verse 30. We'll be done. Then Saul's anger burned against Jonathan and said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman. I'll stop right there. Daddy's not happy. You son of a perverse, rebellious woman. Imagine a couple of phrases might pop into our minds that would be good translations of what he said right there. Saul was furious. He already knew what was happening. And he's actually going to say that. He already knew what was going on, but to have it in his face right now, he just erupted. Well, my time's up. We'll look at what happens next, okay? I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.